before the coroner's recommendations focused on Ms. Du's treatment in police custody, we do need to remember that she should never have been placed in custody. And instead of providing help and support to her as a victim of family violence, she was just locked up for unpaid fines. Once again, the system has failed Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women. And unfortunately, Ms. Du's experience is not an isolated event.
Okay, so her family have said that she had been a victim and a survivor of family and domestic violence prior to her going into custody. Can you talk about the kind of services that are needed to support a woman who are in those situations if they are entering criminal justice system?
Well, I can talk about the services that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women need access to as victims of family violence.
Yeah.
And they are our organisations, the Family Violence Prevention and Legal Services. We provide holistic and culturally safe services for victims of family violence nationally. And so the types of services that we provide are around legal support, and we also deliver early intervention prevention programs. And Ms. Du should have been able to have access to one of our services, and had she had access to one of our services, her death would have been avoidable.
You know, it has looked like that, or the allegations come from procedural failures and medical negligence, but all of the recommendations from the Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody include implementation of access to those services and correct medical attention. Would you like to see, obviously, further monitoring around those implementations?
Okay, just let me say one thing about the Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody. Sadly, none of those recommendations had a specific focus on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women.
Mm.
And as a couple of our former social justice commissioners have said, the fact that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women were overlooked in those recommendations has almost rendered us invisible to policy and lawmakers. This has probably, you know, led to the reasons why Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women are the fastest growing prison population today in our country. It's probably led to the reason why 90% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women in prison are victims of family violence. It's also probably contributed to the fact that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women are 34 times more likely to be hospitalised for family violence and 10 times more likely to die from a violent assault.
What would you like to see happen? You'd like to see some changes or them actually revisited?
Look, I think in respect of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women who experience family violence, it's essential that there's greater funding to family violence prevention and legal services. We remain chronically underfunded, even though under the Third National Action Plan there was a commitment to the Family Violence Prevention Legal Services to extend our funding up until June 2018, and a bit of additional funding, and we welcome that. But, you know, violence against Aboriginal women is a national emergency, and we need better resourcing, greater funding to be able to address this issue.
And also for women like Ms. Du, I mean, where she lived was actually a lot more remote as well, so there isn't as many services, for example, a Koori women who might be able to access in the city, which makes a big difference.
Okay, so with the Family Violence Prevention and Legal Services, our organisations are based in rural and remote areas only, not all rural and remote areas. And one of our biggest asks or calls is that our services need to be expanded to also cover urban areas so that Aboriginal women who live in urban areas have access to culturally safe services. But they also need to be expanded into those other rural and remote areas where there are no other services.
You know, I just think about Ms. Du, and at the time that she would have been going into custody, she would have had that much going on in her life, as well as that she did have health issues that weren't attended to. And so that sometimes there isn't the space to actually even try to think about trying to access services. And so it is really up to the police staff and medical staff to make sure that they're put in place.
It is. It's really important that police make the right referrals to the right organisations. And the kind of work that our organisations do is not only that frontline work, but we work in communities in our early intervention prevention programs. And that's what engages women with our services. It takes our organisations and our services to the women, because we know that many women won't just walk through our door to access support. So, I mean, in Victoria, you would have heard of our Sisters Day Out program, where we take our service and many other services into communities. Now, if that had been available in a community like where Ms. Du lived, then Ms. Du most likely would have attended one of our programs there and had access to those services, been in a situation where she could have connected with other women and not felt so isolated.
Well, Antoinette, thank you so much for joining Living Black Radio. I guess it has been a big year. There has been a lot more, I guess, visibility around family violence, but obviously a lot more work needs to be done. So regarding policy and changes on the ground for 2017, what are you hoping for?
I want to see a greater commitment to addressing violence against Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women. I don't want to have us fighting for dollars. We should be supported because we have the solutions. Can I also just say that I think Ms. Du's family must be acknowledged for allowing the release of that video, or pushing for the release of the video of Ms. Du. They've done that so that no other woman loses her life, and they need to be acknowledged for that.